The Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute is hosting two intensive 9-day seminars for college students this July in Seattle. For details, visit discovery.org/sem. That's www.discovery.org/SEM. The first track is a seminar on intelligent design in the natural sciences, which prepares students to make research contributions advancing the growing science of intelligent design. The second track, the C.S. Lewis Fellows Program on Science and Society, explores the growing impact of science on politics, economics, social policy, bioethics, theology, and the arts. Applicants for each program must be currently enrolled in a college or university as a junior, senior, or graduate student. Students selected will be provided with course materials, lodging, and most meals. Travel scholarships are available and will be awarded based upon need after acceptance into the program. For application information and other seminar details, please visit discovery.org/SEM. That's www.discovery.org/SEM.
Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting from Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. And we're going to pick back up here where we left off with Dr. David Snoke, professor of physics at the University of Pittsburgh. Okay, well, Dr. Snoke, I have to ask this question since we're on the topic of intelligent design. You are currently the proud owner of the top-voted Amazon review of Darwin's Doubt. So what did you think of the book in a nutshell? You know, we don't need your full-blown thesis on the book, but what did you think of the book, and why did you choose to review it on Amazon?
Yeah, well, overall, I enjoyed the book. Both that one and his earlier Signature in the Cell, one of the things I liked about both of them was their sort of comprehensive summaries or reviews of all of the debate that's gone on since the mid-90s about these issues. There's been so many books written back and forth and articles published and so on that it's often hard to tell somebody what they should read to get educated on the field. And so the nice thing about both of these books is that he summarizes a lot of the back and forth about the two issues and can really get a comprehensive overview. And frankly, the most recent one, I thought it was fascinating just the fact that the speciation, the development of different species, is not such an open and shut question. Now, I guess my own personal approach had been to say that I see some real issues with the origin of life, and I see some real issues with the origin of consciousness, but I really never saw it as a burning issue as to whether species could come from other species or whether there was discontinuous jumps between species. But he makes a pretty good argument that the Cambrian explosion, really something discontinuous happened there. And I don't think his book is the final word on that, but I think it definitely made much more of a case than I thought there was to be made on all of that.
Okay, and I want to just close this podcast with you up, Dr. Snoke, with a question that I often like to ask folks, because I think it's helpful for our listeners, many of which are students. I'll just say this. I have students who have said things to me like, you know, Casey, I'll be sitting in my classes, my evolution classes, learning about evolution, and of course, something that I'm interested in, I want to learn about it, but sometimes in my classes, all I can think about is getting out of the class and listening to ID the Future. So just know that whatever you say right now, no pressure, will be listened to by students who are trying to figure out where they're going to go in their careers. So my question is, what advice would you give to students who maybe are ID friendly and are seeking to pursue a career in the sciences?
Well, probably this has been said by other people before, but in the present climate, just at a pragmatic level, sort of laying low and not being vocally known as an argumentative type person who is going to challenge people on that is probably good career-wise. At a real basic level, there's probably another good reason for doing that, which is to spend some years being open-minded and reading things from both sides before you really get out there and express uninformed opinions. So it's just sort of generally a good approach to become well read up on areas before you engage in public debate with a professor. The other thing I would say, somebody in the biology world, is there is in the biology world much more of a political correctness that certain viewpoints are not allowed. And one of the things that can be refreshing is to read some of the books being written in the physics world, where frankly, we feel a lot more free to talk about these things. So, you know, again, looking at the Barrow and Tipler Anthropic Cosmological Principle or some of these other books, get up to speed on what physicists are saying, get up to speed on what philosophers are saying, and don't be too narrowly focused on the biological world. Philosophers and physicists in general are sort of able to step back and question some of the prevailing paradigms in the biology field more freely. And there's a lot of really interesting things. You know, for instance, this book by Thomas Nagel, he's a philosopher. He raised a lot of hackles, but, you know, just the fact that he's in the philosophy department, not a biology department, means he's not going to lose his job. And as a young person, I would say, get up to speed on philosophy, get up to speed on theology. I can't tell you how many of simplistic theological statements I hear coming from people who are knowledgeable in science, but seem to have junior high Sunday school theology. And so sort of getting outside of your own field and reading up on some of these other things is a great thing to do.
I think that's all spectacular advice, Dr. Snoke, especially to not be the kind of student who's just trying to rock the boat in class, to just be there to learn before you speak, and of course to be careful about keeping your head down in certain fields. So I didn't have this question on the list, but you've kind of piqued my interest, and I've heard a lot of other folks say this. Do you feel like your field in particular, physics or cosmology perhaps, are they more open to thinking and talking about design questions and taking design seriously in your experience than, say, biology might be? And would you say that there are serious numbers of folks out there in the physics community who are open to design answers to important questions?
In general, yes. I would say if you were to press people and say, are you sympathetic to the Discovery Institute's version of intelligent design? Probably lots of people would back off at that point. But if you cast the question differently and say, I often have, you know, do you think everything just happened by accident, or do you think that there is a grand design? A great number of physicists would say, it didn't all just happen. There has to be some kind of God. And honestly, I have these conversations all the time with people in physics, and I have rarely actually encountered a physicist who says they're just an absolute committed atheist and everything is just by accident. Much more common is at least some form of deism, of someone saying there has to be some kind of God, Spinoza's God or whatever. Maybe they're some kind of Platonist, but yeah, in general, they would not want to be associated with a movement that's politically incorrect, but there's quite a bit of thought given to where did all this design come from.
That's really fascinating, Dr. Snoke. You know, it's amazing how many folks out there, both inside and outside the scientific community, would be aghast to learn that their viewpoint actually is very much within the big tent of intelligent design, mm-hmm. and that they even might classify as ID proponents. A lot of folks are ID proponents, and they would be absolutely horrified to find that out or mm-hmm. to acknowledge that fact. But in their own heads, they kind of are leading in that direction. I had a conversation with a physicist not that long ago that was very much along the lines of what you just said.
Well, it would be a completely uncontroversial statement in the physics world in general to say that we have absolutely no clue about the origin of life, that no one has any idea how life originated, and not even a schema for thinking about how it might have originated. That's totally uncontroversial. You know, now, there are people who will just hold out to say, but we know it had to happen physically somehow. But no one is in the physics world saying, oh, we certainly know how it happened. We're just filling in a few details.
Well, Dr. Snoke, this has been a lot of fun. I think we're going to have to close up this podcast, and we'll come back for more with Dr. David Snoke, talking actually in the next podcast about his new organization that's an ID-friendly organization, the Christian Scientific Society. So, Dr. Snoke, thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Well, I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Stay tuned for more with Dr. David Snoke. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.